During that game in Munich last week, I got a text off one of Pogba's family, and it just said, different animal.
You know, Mancini has wanted everyone to have fun, you know.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the OTB Football Podcast.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.
As part of the launch of a major new Think Road Safety campaign, Radio 1 DJ and co-host of that Peter Crouch podcast, Chris Stark, has joined forces with grassroots football teams to deliver passionate team talk to football lovers to keep them safe on the roads. Have a look at this.
Here's a message to all you drivers out there. It's been a tough few months. The roads around our stands fell quiet. Car parks were empty.
Seats unsat upon.
But now we're back, and the beautiful game can continue up and down the country, across all the leagues. County FAs, men and women's divisions, the amateur leagues. Coins are being tossed all over the place, ready for kickoff. It means that lots of us are back behind the wheel driving to matches, so let's make sure we do this right, for yourself and for your team. Ballon d'Or. You probably think you know the local roads like the back of your hand, but you won't know what unexpected hazards are up ahead.
You might be in a hurry, but there's no such thing as a safe way to speed.
Don't be distracted by group chats. Fight the urge to check your phone when your hands should be on the wheel and your eyes on the road.
On your head, Chris.
See that? Nothing. Laser focused. All right, lads, let's have a clean one today. Come on. Let's do this. It's coming home, I can feel it. You're going home, safely.
Respect.
Chris Stark, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good, yeah. What you witnessed there was some of the finest acting that I think you guys will have ever seen, right?
100%, yeah. Up there with anything Mila Kunis has ever done.
Absolutely. Cheers, mate.
How is your Euros going so far?
It's good. It's I don't know. It's been a funny experience because, you know, for me, I'm an England fan, and I feel like we've actually done all right despite all the negativity that's around it all. And then last night was a kind of timely reminder that actually, when you look at where we are in the group, it's been good, and sort of on to the rest of the tournament.
Why is there so much negativity?
I don't know. I think it's kind of like a very English way of supporting your team, isn't it? I mean, if you look at other teams, I think even sort of technically less good teams, or those on paper that you would say were less good, they get more support from that underdog feeling and that feeling like they're just going to go and give it a good go. And we never really harness that because no one is saying the England team is the best in Europe. So I don't understand why we can't sort of have a little bit of that attitude with it as well. But that's just the nature of it, I think.
It's very complicated, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think so because ultimately we all want our relative teams to be as successful as possible. And I've always felt that with the national team, it feels slightly counterproductive when there's so much negativity around your own team. And also the great thing about the Euros, and, you know, I don't know if you guys agree, it's you know, party time. And it's great to be, especially this year, seeing friends and family. And so I kind of think as part of that, it'd be nice for it to be such a positive experience. But, you know, I'm used to being an underdog. I'm a Watford fan. And so maybe I harness it a bit differently in my support.
Yeah, I definitely think the team benefits from underdog status as well. And just that point about parties is really interesting because I haven't yet seen the mass outpouring of celebrations that, you know, the celebration videos. There's definitely been some, but it seems like it's almost more understated. A little bit like people still don't quite know how to get back to normal.
I think that's it. The Euros are at a bit of a funny time because, you know, there are certain certain parts of the UK open up, some parts of the UK are closed. There's a, you know, maybe some kind of blurriness in the understanding of what some of the rules are during this time. You know, you also have fan parks where people can go to, and you know, you're meant to sit down, and then I guess everyone's up celebrating. And so I think people are adjusting, and I think we're all going to go through a period of this where we're kind of adjusting to sort of maybe not a non-COVID time, but where it is less taking a hold of our lives. And the Euros has come at that kind of time, I feel.
So what's your match viewing experience been, Chris? It clearly hasn't been throwing pints at one of your friends in a beer garden.
Yeah, I throw every game. I go and throw a pint over my wife just to join in. You know, she stands outside, and I just throw a pint at her. No, I don't know. For me, it's been, you know, just celebrating at home. I've enjoyed the rest of the Euros. Like, don't get me wrong, I've been over at people's houses and we've had little barbecues and stuff like that. But it's a funny one. I also think that going to the game, I think it's amazing being able to go see live football again. But actually, I kind of think I don't really want to do that until everyone can be back in. It can be that proper experience. It just feels a tad like I'd rather be at home and having a little party with my mates than being in a stadium where it's like, it's not how you remember it. It doesn't feel fully open. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's better, but not good yet.
And I think it's lovely. Obviously, it's amazing to go see live football, but such a massive part of going and seeing live football for me is being there with mates and celebrating hard and shouting and cheering and that feeling of togetherness. And maybe I've not been to a game to be able to say whether that is or isn't the case, but that's kind of what I'm excited for. So I'd rather wait until we can do it properly.
Yeah, I think even last night at Hampden, having seen Copenhagen in particular the previous night, it was kind of like, oh, I've suddenly realised what a half empty stadium actually should feel like, because once fans started to come back, it was like, oh, 20,000 people sounds like 100,000 people, but actually when you compare it to Copenhagen, it really doesn't. A full stadium is everything when there aren't these gaps between rows of fans in the grounds.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's a lovely sentiment, and we're all just reaching for positives where we can say that 20,000 people sounds like 100,000 people, but 100,000 people sounds like 100,000 people. You know, that's the reality of it. So yeah, I'm really excited for that. And, you know, obviously with this campaign that you guys just played out, and thank you for doing that, because I still look at it and go, they should have got a really good actor for it, you know. But I wanted to get involved because I think a lot of people are celebrating at home and parties and sort of rushing around. And I think the messages behind the campaign are really like a timely reminder during the Euros, if that makes sense.
For sure. What's your take on the relationship between the English public and this specific team at the moment? And you've mentioned the fact that there's always going to be a bit of frustration with results or performances, but in terms of this bunch of individuals, this bunch of human beings, what is the relationship like in your view?
Well, I think you're starting to see, from an England point of view, I think you're starting to see new names become the prominent names that you see on the back of shirts. You see people like Grealish being what everyone talks about, you know. And it was interesting what you were saying before I came on about, you know, the stories from the Euros. And I think the relationship between England fans and the England team is there's a real excitement about new players that are coming through. I think there is a little bit of, and this happens with every tournament and with every England team that comes out, you know, everyone's got their own view on who should be starting. And then you have the performance last night, which vindicates some people, but also shows some people that, you know, they were probably wrong. I think one thing with being a football fan, don't know if you guys agree, we don't make an atmosphere where you can actually hold your hands up at the end and go, actually, I was wrong there. Like, I shouted a lot about this player or this team, but it's not really the done thing to go, actually, you were right and I'm wrong. It's kind of just who shouts the loudest and, you know, I am right. And that's cool. Like, that's part of it. But it would be interesting to see as many tweets on social media from people going like, well, fair play, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that just doesn't happen though, right?
It doesn't happen. And even in social media in general, like, I often think this, like, it'd be great if we could create a bit more of an atmosphere where you don't just get judged on something that you tweeted or you put out many years ago, but that you can actually maybe just say, sorry, I was wrong. It's like, this isn't set in stone. Like, what I was then wasn't how I was now. I was angry last week, but I'm not angry now. And I wish there was a way that, and I don't know what it needs to be. I don't know if it needs to be a special function, like an apology tweet. I don't know. It turns up in a different color. You know, like you get balloons on your birthday. Maybe it needs, I don't know, something there. But I'd love to see a bit more of that.
It's basically an apology to all Bukayo Saka fans from all Jadon Sancho fans. Is what you want.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I just think in sport, you know, most of the time the irony is we are often wrong. And actually, that's okay. That's part of it. Sport isn't VAR, really, is it? It's not perfect. It's not lines drawn. It's areas where you can be adamant about something before, but I've got it wrong, ultimately.
And part of that paranoia of, I don't know, getting pulled up on, I don't know, a wrong sports opinion, I guess, takes away from the sports enjoyment. Like, I'm sure you want to be able to scream from the rooftops that you think that England are going to win the Euros, but maybe part of your social media brain is like, I can't really say that because if they don't, then I'm going to look like an idiot.
I don't know. Like, I've been guilty of this in the past. Like, I've tweeted about Watford. You know, I remember Watford playing City and I think we were 2-0 up. And I made the mistake of tweeting that, and then obviously we lost 3-2, and then it kicks off. You know, I think that's part. It's a fine line, isn't it? Because it's a fine line between all the kind of banter around it, and that's part of what I enjoy. I enjoy how ridiculous we all get about football. You know, I enjoy that it stirs up so many feelings, but. Yeah, I guess you're right. Like, maybe there is something in the back of my head which is like, do you want to be shouting this and tweeting this right now? Because you know what will happen if they don't.
I know we're kind of judging this in a very different way, but where does this tournament rank in terms of hype around England and their team and their chances as opposed to all of the other tournaments that you've witnessed?
That's a really interesting question, because for me personally, it's felt like there hasn't been the sort of the overhype that there often is before tournaments, like the over ridiculous hype. If anything, I felt like the week before this tournament, people were all agreeing that the England team has a great lineup, but were slightly more pessimistic or some would say realistic about where they can get in the tournament. And the odd thing about that is then that makes me go the other way. And now I'm super optimistic. You know, I said to Crouchy, he said to me, what do I think will happen? And I said to him, well, I really think England will win it because this year feels different. And he shook his head and goes, you're just saying it. Because as an England fan, that's what you've got to say. And I said to him, well, you are right to a certain extent. As an England fan, it's like if someone asks, you just have to say, it's coming home. But I did say, like, strap me up to a lie detector and ask me. And I think this could be a really interesting idea. We put England fans on lie detectors and ask them if they really believe it's coming home.
That's a really good item.
You should do that.
So from someone who knows Peter Crouch quite well, does he come with like his own sense of PTSD around being an England player at a major tournament?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because, like, obviously we do the podcast together, and so I do think he has to give some sort of like insight from a person who's experienced the game, but then is now, you know, retired and can look at it and criticize a little bit. But he doesn't do that. His default mode is England fan, and he always leans towards the positives with it. And I guess part of that is he's obviously friends with, you know, a lot of the people that are involved. But yeah, I think it's an interesting one because I do think this England team is really special. And the things that Crouchy gives me an insight that I don't see just as a fan. Like when you spend a bit of time with someone that's played in these matches, you realize the little bits of pressure, and you look at the tunnel against Scotland, for example, and you see how that game is almost won in the tunnel. If you look at that bit before the game, ignoring all the COVID stuff and everything like that about this tunnel, but you just look at Andy Robertson's eyes. Like, he looks possessed, and you see him looking straight forward. And it's those little insights that I love from him, because it's true, you can watch on TV and you can have your opinions on players and everything, but you can never truly understand that moment and how it feels for those people involved and how they then go and deal with that game.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think one of the endearing things about Peter Crouch is that he is a fan and he just got to live his dream. That's like, so we'd have seen that with Kevin Kilbane as well. It was like the optimism about the team now never disappears for those guys because it's part of their story too.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And I think ultimately, you know, every football team is standing on the shoulders of giants that have played before them. There's a huge amount of pride. So just because you retire, you still, I imagine, feel part of the process because you were part of a team that that has ultimately led to the current England team that there is. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a bit like a family passing down through the generations. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And it's, I guess, quite a nice romantic way of looking at it.
On that note, Chris, we wish you the very best of luck. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, guys.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.